I was asked to speak tonight on the topic, ethical answers in an unethical world. And what I really want to address is the question of, how do we know what's true? How do we know what is morally right? How do we know that, for example, that the teachings of the Bible are things that we should follow, as opposed to somebody's opinion? Another title, if you will, for this topic is worldview apologetics. So what is the Christian worldview, and why is the Christian worldview about morality, about truth, the correct one, and as a Christian, why should we be confident that our worldview, the Christian worldview, is the correct one? Now, first of all, I want to talk about truth just in general. In John 18, 37 and 38, Jesus said, "I came to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." So Jesus said, "I came to testify to the truth. If you want to know the truth, listen to my words." And then Pilate said to Jesus, "Well, then what is truth?" And that is a classic question. What is truth? Now, just so you know, there's two other views, if you will, of truth we're going to talk about tonight. And one is the view that comes from scientific materialism, otherwise known as naturalism, otherwise known as scientism. We're going to compare that, which is one of the main, philosophies of our age, certainly that of Richard Dawkins and others as they're trying to attack the truth of the Bible. Another very common philosophy, arguably the dominant philosophy in academia today, is postmodernism. So I'm going to be talking about what postmodernism says about the truth, what scientific materialism says about the truth, and then what about what Christianity says about the truth. But Pontius Pilate asked this question, which I believe all people ask, which is, what is truth? Now that is a good question. Now, let me explain to you how I see the problem here that we're facing. Is I see that we have a secularization of culture. The religious thought has been banished as being somehow troglodytes or primitive or unworthy or not advanced enough, not modern enough. The idea of absolute truth and morality has been almost painted to be something that's evil. Anybody who has the nerve to say certain things are just plain true is labeled as a reactionary. And I'm very concerned about that. I'm very concerned. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about my concern and hopefully your concern about where our culture is headed, not necessarily just in America or here in the UK where I'm giving this talk, but the concern about human culture because really the two the counter philosophies I'm going to discuss tonight are really saying that there is no such thing as truth. There is no such thing as moral absolute. You can't really say whether it's right or wrong to murder or to be selfish or to lie or to steal. I'm concerned about that. I'm not arguing that we need to have Christianity be the state religion, that we need to enforce Christian teaching on everybody in the schools, but I really believe that that we as believers in God have been cowed into being quiet, into really not voicing this our strong belief that some things are just true, that God is real. And that postmodernism and scientific naturalism are in fact destructive philosophies. Second concern I have is a loss of morality in general. Our culture has lost the sense that things are just right and wrong. Some things are wrong. Ideas about sexual behavior, ideas about greed, selfishness, lying. We've just lost a sense of morality. Both on the public and the private level, we've lost the idea that certain things are just plain right and wrong. And I believe that's bad for everybody. Also, just the loss of God. We're at risk of becoming a people for whom God is somewhere listed in the ranks of fairies and leprechauns. And the problem with that is God is real. In fact, God answers the question of why I'm here, how I got here and where I'm going. The basic questions that human beings really care about, at the bottom heart, I believe the essential questions that everybody asks cannot be answered without the fact. I believe the fact of God. And so we're in danger intellectually at our universities, in circles where people communicate, in the media, etc., of losing God. This is especially true in Europe, but it's becoming more so in the United States as well. No, God is not the equivalent of a fairy or a leprechaun or the tooth fairy or the pasta fairy or whatever. Fourth, I'm also concerned about the loss of the intellectual high ground at the university. In other words, at the university, at the college, at the intellectual level, I'm concerned that those who simply believe what is true, which is that there is a God, that is a God of order, that there is justice, there is absolute truth, that's going to become outmoded to the point where people can't even mention that. I really want to call us to take back the intellectual high ground, to major in philosophy, to major in English, to major in sociology, anthropology, sciences, whatever, and start speaking for God, start speaking for the truth, start speaking for morality. Again, I'm not saying that we need to have a Christianity and be the official religion. Nothing like that. In fact, I really believe that secularism, to some extent, is a good thing. Now, so we're going to talk about ideas of truth. And let me throw out a rather big word here. The word is epistemology. I'm not generally a big fan of using big words, but in this case, I think it's worthwhile. Epistemology, by definition, is the study of how we know what we know. How do we know something is true? What is the nature of truth? How is truth acquired? How is truth evaluated? Epistemology. There are different kinds of epistemology. There's learning of truth through induction, which is basically through looking at the world, gathering information, and reaching generalizations. There's deduction, which is to start with things which we know are true and to logically infer from that other truths. And there's another source of truth, which is revelation. And as we're going to see, all the early scientists agreed that revelation was a legitimate source of truth. Now, let me define the, in quotes, enemy for us. That which I see really are the leading philosophies of our day, which are moving us in the exact wrong direction, away from morality, away from even believing that anything is indeed actually true. The first is naturalism, also known as materialism, also known as scientism. And when we use the word scientist, that's kind of a scientism, that's a bit of a pejorative, because the word scientism basically implies that somebody's taking science as a religion, that science is the source of truth. Many people take that position. So I may not use the word scientism, probably naturalism, scientific materialism are probably less pejorative terms. Basically, according to naturalism, materialism, the only truth is what is discovered by the scientific method. Here's one definition. Scientism, the belief that the only reliable or valid instrument in deciding truth or even the value of any proposition is the scientific method. Anything that is learned through any means other than experiment, the formation of hypotheses, the physical laws, empirical evidence, is simply not true. It's not valid. It's not reliable. If scientism is true, if scientific materialism is true, then there's no such thing as ethics, no such thing as morality, no supernatural, no God, no truth except that which is discovered through experimentation, no consciousness. When I say I exist, that's really a figment of imagination. I, if I truly exist at all, am just some chemicals moving around inside my brain. No justice, because if scientific materialism is true, then justice is a figment of our imagination. Now, I believe that virtually no one can accept this as true, and yet, in my sphere of influence, in the sciences, this is put forth as really the only legitimate source of truth. Okay, let me give you a simple statement of essentially the scientific materialist position, the naturalist position. It's one from Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins says that in the universe of blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt. Other people are going to get lucky. You won't find any rhyme or reason to it, nor any justice. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we'd expect if there is at the bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, and no good. Nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. DNA neither knows nor cares. DNA just is, and we dance to its music. Another statement that I find to be more or less along the lines of scientific materialism is one by Thomas Huxley. Huxley is in the 19th century, was a good friend of Charles Darwin. He said, "We are as much the product of blind forces as is the falling of a stone to the earth, or the ebb and the flow of the tides. We just happened. And man was made flesh by a long series of singularly beneficial accidents." All right, that basically states it, that there is no truth, there is no reason, there is no ethics, that if we exist, it's only by accident. There certainly was no purpose in our existence. There certainly is no reason for us to be alive other than the fact that random forces created us. Fairly dark view of things from my perspective, but just because something is dark doesn't mean it's not true. So anyway, part of this talk, we're going to talk about why I personally feel like we have to reject scientific materialism as a legitimate philosophy to explain the human existence. The second enemy, if you will, and I use the word enemy loosely, I don't think postmodernists are our enemy per se, but I do believe that this philosophy is the enemy of the truth, is postmodernism. Now, basically, postmodernism is the idea that there is no truth, that truth is lost. Let me give a statement of postmodernism. Truth, if such a thing exists, is the property of culture. There is no absolute truth. All truth is relative. Truth, if it exists at all, is created by society. If lying, stealing, murder, genocide are wrong, there's no way to establish this as an absolute. Every group of people has the right to determine what's true for them. So it may not be true for you, but it's true for me. No absolute truth. It's worth bearing in mind that the modern movement that we call postmodernism is really a reaction. It's a pendulum swing against naturalism. And we'll talk about that in a bit when I talk about the history of intellectual thought in the Western world. In fact, let me do that next. Let me go through a brief history of the intellectual history in the West. I'll go all the way back to Aristotle. Aristotle represents for me a number of Greek philosophers, but I'll just mention him. Aristotle believed that the truth is to be discovered through human logic and reason. He believed that this world was kind of gross, that physical earth was not the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is some higher level, the quintessence, the Greeks called it, a place of perfect knowledge, perfect forms, perfect shapes. And he believed that human beings could understand and acquire knowledge of that highest level through reason alone, human reason alone. It's worth noting that Aristotle is quite a smart guy. I respect Aristotle. He really helped us to understand how to categorize human knowledge. Great guy. I'm not against Aristotle at all. However, his philosophy was rather poor at acquiring knowledge of how the actual world works. For example, Aristotle had seven principal laws of nature. One was that matter is infinitely dividable. Another one was known as the four-element theory. He had the theory that the natural state of motion is at rest, that nature abhors a vacuum, other laws. Interestingly, all seven of Aristotle's basic laws of nature were wrong. Every single one of them is wrong. What that tells me is that simply acquiring human logic and reason is not sufficient to explain and understand the world. Therefore, I'm going to conclude ultimately that we do need a working point, a place to start from other than simply human logic and reason. I believe the scripture is the source of that, and I'll talk about that in a bit. Second person I want to mention, just really briefly, is this fellow named Augustine of Hippo. He was the most influential theologian of the Catholic Church, and probably in all its history. And he argued that Christianity has to be true to the extent that it talks about nature. He was a Manichaean, which is a basically a dualist religion that originated in Persia. And he believed in the teaching of this guy Manes. And yet, in the scriptures of the Manichaean religion, there were some statements about nature, which Augustine believed was obviously and diametrically opposed to what we know about the motions of the planets and the stars. And he felt like he can't possibly believe in a religious system which makes patently false statements about nature. Anyway, the most famous teacher of the Manichaean religion was coming to where he lived, which is in North Africa, I believe in Carthage or nearby. Anyway, so he confronted this man, and the man basically, he asked the man, how can you explain the fact that our scriptures are in obvious disagreement with what we know about nature? And the man said, oh, stop asking questions. It basically blew him off. And for that reason, Augustine left Manichaeism, and eventually he became a Christian. And he believed that things that we believe from the scripture cannot possibly be contradictory to what we know to be true, both from our observations, from logic and reason and elsewhere. And I agree with that. I agree that Christianity, if it's true, has to be agree with what we know to be true from other sources of truth. For example, from science and whatever other sources of knowledge. By the way, one example of this, of the, I guess, scientific wisdom of the Bible, at least from my perspective, is found in Hebrews 11:3, which says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made from what is visible. Hebrews 11:3 says that the universe, the visible world that we see, was not made from other visible things, but that it was made from things which are invisible. In other words, Hebrews 11:3 believes in creation ex nihilo, which is a fancy Latin way of saying creation of the entire world out of nothing. And what's interesting is science has caught up with this idea. That the Big Bang Theory basically describes this creation out of nothing. That's just a small example of what I believe, which is that the Bible is not in contradiction with what I know from science. Next person I want to mention very briefly is Thomas Aquinas. He's from the 13th century. He was another Catholic theologian. And he said, if something is true, it must be reasonable. He tried to apply the logic of Aristotle to Christianity to explain, for example, why we know that God exists and things like that. Another person from the 13th century is Roger Bacon. Roger Bacon arguably is the first real philosopher of science. He said that in order to acquire a truth about nature, we need to use external experience, aided by instruments, and made precise by mathematics. Here's the first philosopher of science, the first one to teach that if you want to understand how nature works, you need to study nature. And that nature should be studied using instruments and mathematics. Basically, he and William of Ockham and Copernicus, these are other philosophers and scientists in the 13th, 14th, and 15th century. These guys started this movement that we now call science. And let me tell you where they came from. They basically came from a few basic presuppositions about nature. First of all, they concluded that the universe is ordered and essentially is unchanging. That it was created by a single, all-powerful, loving, unchanging God with the single purpose in mind that human beings can live in this universe and we can experience a relationship with God. So they believe that the universe is ordered and is essentially unchanging. They believe that the universe is observable. In other words, that the human mind, the human brain is able to observe and to understand nature. They believe that there's a one-to-one match between how the human mind works and how the universe in which we live functions, that we can understand nature. And also, you'll notice from Roger Bacon's statement, they believe that the universe is beautiful, that it's symmetric, and that it's governed by mathematically precise laws. In other words, a belief in the Christian God was the cause for the creation of what we now call science. It was belief in a single, loving, creative, personal God that led to what we call science today. I think that's interesting to know in terms of the history of intellectual thought. Another person that's worth mentioning is William of Ockham. He was one of the first reformers of the Catholic Church. He said, "Nothing is assumed as evident unless it is known per se, is evident by experience, or proved by authority of Scripture." So he said there's really three ways to know things. One is from Scripture, obviously. The other one is from observation. And the other one is from logic. And, of course, with logic, only if something is true can you deduce something from that logically. So induction, deduction, and revelation are the sources of truth. Another person that's worth mentioning is one of my favorites, is Galileo. And Galileo taught that the Holy Spirit speaks to us both through Scripture and through nature. To quote from Galileo, "The Holy Scripture and the phenomena of nature proceed alike from the divine word. The former is the dictate of the Holy Spirit, and the latter is the observant executor of God's commands." All these early scientists believed that nature was created by God, and as they were studying nature, they were gaining insight to the God who created nature. They saw no contradiction whatsoever between belief and being a scientist. In fact, for all the early scientists, belief in God was essential to their philosophy of science. Historically, Christianity is the root of science. Now, the next person I want to mention is Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton's interesting in that he believed in God, but he didn't necessarily believe in the God of the Bible. He believed that Jesus was just a good teacher. He did not believe that he was resurrected. Some people would label Isaac Newton a deist. A deist is a person who believes in a creator. In fact, to the deist, by definition, God is creator. Now, Isaac Newton developed from the physical point of view, from his laws of motion and law of gravity, the idea of the mechanical universe. In other words, Isaac Newton created a picture of the universe as working according to laws which function essentially on their own. So, and I agree with that. In fact, I believe that God created a universe which works according to fixed laws which control the physical forces and control interaction between particles, and essentially that God wound up the universe and it lets it go according to the laws that he created. The problem with that, at least for some people, is that people begin to question the whole idea of God being required. In other words, if the universe truly works according to self-operating mechanical laws, then why do we need to invoke God? So, with Newton, the move towards what I call skepticism began. And we're getting into the 18th century with people like David Hume. David Hume was, in some sense, the ultimate skeptic. He said, "Extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof." And I certainly agree with that. But basically, he questioned whether we could really know anything. He was a true skeptic. How do we know the sun's going to come up tomorrow? How do we really know the sun's going to come up tomorrow? Of course, we know, actually, the sun doesn't come up. The earth is spinning around, and the sun comes into view. But David Hume argued that induction is not really a legitimate way to acquire knowledge of the world, because we cannot use the past to predict the future. Another skeptic of the 18th century was Voltaire. Voltaire was one of the earliest religious skeptics who began to question the Bible itself, if Scripture was really reliable truth from God. So in the 18th century, we have people beginning to ask the question, can we really know anything to be fundamentally and absolutely true? And I do think that's a legitimate question. The answer is yes, by the way. I'm convinced of that because there is a God, and that God has communicated us through the Bible. Nevertheless, it is a legitimate question. In the 19th century, another figure that kind of led us towards this skepticism is a guy named Pierre-Simon Laplace. Laplace built on the work of Newton. He wrote a treatise in which he claimed that using his mathematical laws, he could predict all the way into the future the motions of all particles and objects, and in principle he could extrapolate infinitely far into the future, infinitely far into the past, and he could explain all reality using material laws. Here we have one of the earliest people we could truly identify as a scientific materialist. a thoroughgoing naturalist. A funny story is that he presented a copy of his treatise to Napoleon. Napoleon brought him into his presence and he said to him, Laplace, I've got a question. Where's God in all this? And Laplace responded, perhaps sardonically, I have no need of that hypothesis. And of course, atheists today will use the term the God hypothesis. The next person I want to mention is a very famous one, of course, is Charles Darwin, who published The Origin of Species, The Descent of Man. Now we're truly heading into the modernism, the modernist materialist approach, which by the late 1800s it seemed triumphant. It seemed like people were getting better and better. Science was explaining things. Within a few years, we'd probably answer all the questions about nature. Through science, through discoveries of science, we're going to solve the human problems of disease. We're going to have wealth. We're going to have happiness. And this was the age when modernism seemed to be triumphant. And many people were proposing that we're going to run out of the need for God. God is going to become irrelevant. He's going to become outmoded. An oddity of history. However, it didn't turn out to be quite so triumphant a time for scientific materialism, for modernism. What happened is, in the 20th century, a few things came out which turned the tides on naturalism. The first of those was the discovery of quantum mechanics. Now, I can't go into this in detail because it would require a lot of stuff and probably go over the heads of most of my hearers. But basically, with the discovery of quantum mechanics, which happened in the second, third, and fourth decades of the 20th century, scientists began to question whether determinism is real, whether you can actually say where something even is. And the universe seemed to be governed by rules of probability rather than absolutes. On the political level, it was World War I and World War II. With the dropping of the bomb in Hiroshima, with the war to end all wars, which it turned out was just a prelude to World War II, people really began to question whether modernity is so wonderful and so great, whether Western culture really is the source of absolute truth, whether human logic and reason and rationalism and empiricism really is going to discover the truth and answer the questions and answer the need of human beings. With that came the new philosophy now known as postmodernism. Postmodernism represents a complete rejection of modernism. The postmodernists say reality is a social construction. Truth, it's true for you, but it's not true for me. That the only truth, if truth exists at all, is determined by the culture within which that truth lies. A famous statement of the postmodernists is, all beliefs are theory-laden. In other words, what you believe is based not so much on reality, but based on your interpretation of reality. That there is no objective truth. The meaning of a text, when people write, is determined not by the author, but by the cultural milieu of the readers. Believe it or not, according to the postmodernists, the reader determines the meaning of the text. Even self, even what I am and what you are, is determined not by some sort of absolute truth, you are what you are, but I am what I am only in the light of the society I live in. The society defines me as a scientist. My society defines me as an adult male, as a Republican, or whatever, as a Christian, as a middle-class person, or whatever. So meaning, if it exists at all, according to postmodernism, resides in the community of those who assign that meaning. Now, this has pretty strong implications for anyone who wants to believe and understand and interpret the Bible. For example, according to the postmodernists, there's no such thing as the Book of Romans. I'm not kidding. There's the Methodist Book of Romans. There's the Lutheran Book of Romans. There's the Buddhist Book of Romans. There's even the Atheist Book of Romans. All right, and each culture decides what's true. There is no external truth. The external world and even the self are just constructions of our society. Consciousness is social, not individual. No rational way to determine what's true and what's right. Now, what I want to do then, I've given a fairly good definition, I hope, of modernism, of scientific materialism, and of postmodernism. Of course, I'll say more about that. Now, what I want to do is, one at a time, I want to give a response to the two. So, what I'm going to do first is I'm going to give a response to scientific materialism, naturalism, scientism, whatever you want to call it. Now, the theorist who maintains that science is the be-all, the end-all, that which is not in scientific textbook is not worth knowing, I call that scientism. Anything that's not knowable through science is basically not even real. Let me read another statement. It says, the theorist who maintains that science is the be-all, the end-all, that what is not in science textbook is not worth knowing, is an ideologist with a particularly distorted doctrine of his own. For him, science is no longer a sector of the cognitive enterprise, but it is an all-inclusive worldview. This is the doctrine not of science, but of scientism. To take this stance is not to celebrate science, but to distort it. So I believe that this idea that the scientific method is the only possible way we can know for sure if something is true is bogus. I want to give three reasons for that. First of all, I believe it is a self-defeating truth, that it can't possibly be right because it involves circular reason. That's the first reason I have a problem with scientism. Second reason I have a problem with scientific materialism is it is flat wrong. That scientific materialism is patently and demonstrably false. The third reason that I strongly oppose materialism, scientific materialism as a philosophy, is that it's dangerous. So scientific materialism is self-defeating, it's wrong, and it's dangerous. That's the outline of this section I want to talk about. Again, scientific materialism is the belief that only that which can be observed and measured through the technique of the scientific method is real. Everything else is unreal. Justice is unreal. God is unreal. Morality is unreal, etc. Here's another quote from Richard Lewontin, who is an advocate of scientism. He said, "We exist as material beings in a material world, all of whose phenomena are the consequences of material relationships among material entities. In a word, the public needs to accept materialism, which means that they must put God in the trash can of history where such myths belong." Well, I strongly disagree with that. Now, my first point then is there's circular reasoning. In other words, scientific materialism is based on assumptions, and those assumptions is that scientific materialism is true. And if your basic assumption, if your basic argument that something is true is the assumption that it's true in the first place, that argument is bogus. Scientific materialism is based on some assumptions that cannot be proven by the scientific method. I've already mentioned them. Let me repeat. These are some of the assumptions of science, the presupposition, absolute requirements for science to work. First of all, science assumes that the universe is ordered and is essentially unchanging. That can't be proven by scientific experiment. Number two, the universe is observable and it's understandable. There's a one-to-one match between how the human mind works and how the universe in which we live functions. Now, that is a question for metaphysics, that's a question for philosophy, but the bottom line is, we cannot do an experiment to prove that that assumption is true, and yet, if that assumption is not true, then science is not completely reliable to discover what's true. Another assumption of science is that the universe is governed by mathematically precise laws. Language is adequate to describe the natural realm. None of these assumptions can be proven by experiment. In a sense, science itself is not scientific. And that's one reason that I reject scientism, because it requires circular reasoning. Essentially, it is a religion. Scientism is an article of faith. So, and of course, obviously, faith has nothing to do with science, and therefore, I say scientism or scientific materialism as an overall philosophy to explain all reality, I believe, is circular reasoning and therefore false. Now, the second reason I reject materialism or naturalism is that it's simply not true. The bottom line, I don't care what they say, I exist. If the materials is right, then consciousness is just random chemicals moving around in the brain. Then I am a figment of my own imagination. I don't exist. What's John? John Oakes. What's, you know, Bill Clinton? Bill Clinton is just a physical object, gray matter inside of a skull. It's just neurons firing. It's just chemicals here and there. It's just different levels of testosterone and things like that. No soul, no spirit, no non-physical reality. Now, I'll admit that I cannot do a scientific experiment to prove the existence of the soul. In fact, I can't do a scientific experiment to prove that I, in the sense of a conscious being, exist. And yet, I believe in it. In fact, I believe virtually everybody believes that they exist, that they exist as an actual person, as a conscious being, apart from the chemicals and the physical things. I believe in soul. I believe in spirit. I believe there is a non-physical reality. Belief in God is not just a meme, to use the words of Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins teaches that science can explain the genesis of religion, that religion is just an artifact of brain evolution. In other words, it's an unfortunate, accidental result of how the human brain evolved. There must have been something about the human brain which created this tendency to accept things without evidence, blah, blah, blah. So if the materialist is true, then belief in God is just an artifact, and a very, very unfortunate artifact indeed, of the way that human brain evolved. If scientific materialism is true, then life has no value. Human life has no value. There's no way to say that the works of Leonardo da Vinci are more valuable than the works of the airbrush artists who put up their paintings in your local pizzeria. Human beings have no value. What is value? If the material is true, then love is just chemicals moving around the brain. Now, the Bible says God is love. That love is something that real, that exists in and of itself. Love is truth. That love is a real thing. It's not just chemicals moving around in the brain. If the materialist is right, then religious thought is absolute nonsense. Then when we pray, we're completely self-deceived. It is true that when we pray, certain parts of the brain light up. And I'll agree with the neuroscientists that our brain is designed to experience religious thought and religious activity. And yet I say that's not evidence that there is no God. I say that's evidence that there is a God. In fact, the way I see it is the human brain is a God-experiencing machine. That God created our brains as they are so that we could know Him, so that we could know His emotions, we could know His feelings, we could be conscious of God, that we could experience faith, we could experience religious experiences, that we could experience that incredible inspiration of having a true experience of God. If the materialist is right, then art and literature and music have no intrinsic value. There's no possible way to say that Mozart's work is better than Metallica or whatever. If the materialist is true, then justice is a meaningless word. If the materialist is true, then human rights have no basis. There's no way to say that all people have equal value, that all people have dignity. What's dignity? How do we define dignity in science? How do we define right and wrong? I believe that scientific materialism is patently false. There are other reasons that I believe scientific materialism is wrong. Number one, we know from science the universe was created. I've talked about that in other lessons. I don't have time to get into it here. But there's plenty of physical evidence, including the expanding universe, the background microwave radiation, many other proofs and evidences and predictions that have come true. The bottom line is, it certainly appears the universe was created out of nothing. In an incredibly immense flash of light, everything came from nothing. Before the Big Bang, there was no time, there was no space, there was no energy, there was no matter. The entire universe came to exist out of nothing. To me, that makes scientific materialism patently false, because there's a creator. Also, another reason I'm convinced that materialism is patently false is that life itself was created. Again, that's an entire hour-long lesson in itself. I don't have time to go into it. But for a number of reasons, I believe that life was created, that there is no possible, no conceivable scientific explanation for the creation of a living thing with its millions and millions of pieces of information, with its DNA, its RNA, its proteins, randomly created by physical forces. I believe that the materialist is completely grasping at straws to say that life came about by the mere bouncing of one particle into another particle. There's also the anthropic principle. Again, I don't have time to go into that, but the bottom line is every single important fact, every single important parameter that defines how the universe works is fine-tuned. If you change the gravity force or the nuclear strong force or the nuclear weak force or the electromagnetic force or any of dozens of other parameters that define how the universe works, if you change them by the tiniest amount, the universe itself would not exist, or there'd be no stars, or there'd be no life. The universe is fine-tuned. God's fingerprint is all over the periodic chart. God's fingerprint is all over our solar system, all over all the laws of the universe. The last reason I want to mention, and I'll admit that the skeptic and the atheist isn't going to accept this one, but another reason I believe that scientific materialism is patently false, is that the Bible is inspired by God. Now, you'll have to go to some other talks that I've given, but I believe beyond a doubt, because of the prophecies, because of the historical accuracy of the Bible, because of the prefigures and foreshadows in the Bible, I could go on and on and on for hours and hours and hours, but I won't. I am absolutely convinced the Bible is inspired by God. Now, one thing's for sure is, if the Bible is inspired by God, then scientific naturalism is patently false. Let me get to the third and last reason I believe that naturalism is wrong, and that's because it's dangerous. I would argue that it's not just a dangerous philosophy, that it's an evil philosophy. Here's why. Because if the naturalist is right, then good and evil are meaningless ideas. There is no such thing as right and wrong. There is no way to say whether stealing should be avoided. You know, we could have sort of an opinion, we could maybe have a general consensus, but the bottom line is there's no way to know what's right and wrong. How do I know stealing is wrong? How do I know that, for example, that we can't just have sex with anybody we want, anytime we want? I believe that sex between a man and a woman in a committed relationship is the only healthy way for human beings to have sexual behavior. Yet, how can we know that's true? Because if the materialist is right, then any kind of sex is as good as any other kind. Sex with an animal, you know, sex of a father with his 12-year-old daughter. Why is that wrong? There's nothing evil about genocide. In fact, if scientific materialism is right, racism is not only acceptable, it's supported. If you don't believe me, just go back to the eugenics movement of the late 1800s, well into the 1900s, where scientists were proposing to improve the human condition by eliminating inferior people from the population, by eliminating retarded people, by eliminating blind people, deaf people, and yes, thanks to our friend Hitler, by eliminating non-Aryan people. The idea that one person is superior to another makes sense from a scientific perspective, but from God's perspective, we're all equal. That's another reason why I believe that naturalism, that scientific materialism, is flat dangerous. Because if the materialist is right, violence and greed are acceptable. Greed is good. Greed makes sense. Justice is a meaningless concept. Justice, which says that certain things are wrong, certain practices are not acceptable, and punishment is a reasonable response to that. Justice has no meaning if the materialist is right. The words ought and should be are meaningless words. What's funny is if you read the works of Dawkins and others, who totally accept this idea of materialism, of rationalism, it's interesting because they use the word ought and should all the time. They're quite hypocritical about this, but that's another story. If the materialist is right, there's no such thing as sin. Therefore, the idea that that sin deserves punishment is wrong. Now, let's consider for a moment a few societies, and there are only a few. There have been a few societies in human history that have rejected belief in God. There are a very few experiments, if you will, where human beings as a group have said, we're going to reject God and we're going to accept atheism. One of those, of course, is the USSR, and that was a really wonderful experiment. 20 million people were murdered by the Soviet system. How about communist China? 30 million lives snuffed out in the name of atheism and a belief that there is no God. There's the Khmer Rouge, there's North Koreans, and then of course there's the French Revolution. The leading lights of the French Revolution were trying to drive God out of the picture. I would say if we were to look at all the actual experiments where people who rejected all belief in God, all belief in basic moral truth, it's not looking too good to me. I really think that these materialists, these people who support scientism, have a Pollyanna view. They think that people are going to get better and better and better if we remove this outmoded, outdated, useless idea of morality and ultimate truth. I say, is that where we really want to head? I am concerned. I believe it's dangerous if we accept the teachings of scientific materialism. Now, no wonder intellectuals rejected it. In fact, bottom line is, most of the intellectuals in the Western world rejected modernism because it is such an unacceptable view of the world. And that led to postmodernism, unfortunately, and it is human nature to overreact. In fact, I believe postmodernism provides some legitimate criticism of the scientific method, of the idea that science is the ultimate determiner of truth. But unfortunately, as is the human condition, we tend to overreact. Let me mention a few positive contributions, in my opinion, from postmodernism, or cultural relativism, if you will. First of all, postmodernism has brought in the idea of the importance of groups and of relationships between groups. In other words, if we go by naturalism, then the only important thing is the individual. And it's questionable whether the individual even has importance. But postmodernism has taught us that culture, group interaction, relationships between people and groups of people is important to consider. Another thing that I believe is good about postmodernism is it gives credit and honor to culture, to beauty, to wonder, and to imagination. Whereas materialism or scientific naturalism, what's the definition of beauty and imagination, and what's the role of culture? I believe that postmodernism gives us a more accurate description of history, including the history of science, by the way. And another good thing, I believe, is that postmodernism allows for the fact that the Western mindset is not the only valid mindset. The postmodernism gives honor to the Eastern mindset, or a different cultural views, different points of view. Now, however, there's some problems with postmodernism. I believe it's very confusing. If postmodernism is right, then no worldview is preferred. The idea of truth for all practical purposes disappears. Please forgive the clock that's in the background there, by the way. Now, let me talk about some theories of truth. One theory of truth is called the correspondence theory of truth, and it's quite simply this. A statement is true if reality corresponds to that which is predicted by the statement. I think most of us can buy into that idea. In other words, if we state something is true, and if reality agrees with that, then we can at least provisionally accept that it's probably true. All right, for example, it's probably true that gravity exists because when we pick something up, when we drop it, it falls. And when we take two objects and we put them near each other, if they're large enough, we have sense enough instruments, we can feel the force that attracts them. some things are true because, or at least they certainly appear to be true, and we can preliminarily conclude that they almost certainly are true because reality corresponds with what's predicted by that. Now, another theory of truth is relativism, which is basically the theory of truth of postmodernism. And this idea of truth is a claim is made true for those who accept it by the very act of accepting it as true. Now, that may sound a bit strange to you, but that is the postmodern view. In other words, that there are truths that are true for a certain culture, and if another culture, another group of people, another organization disagrees with that, then they can have a different concept of truth, and that each person's concept of truth determines their worldview, determines what's right or wrong for them, and it's all relative. Now, I'm sorry, but I have a hard time with that. I believe that truth is either discovered or created. Right? And I believe it's discovered. But the postmodernists believe that truth is created. I'm sorry, but I believe certain things are just plain true. Either I exist or I don't exist. Either the earth exists or it does not exist. Either it's right to murder or it's not right to murder. Either something is beautiful or it's not beautiful. Well, maybe there's some opinion there. But the bottom line is, truth is discovered by human beings. It's not created by human beings. But the postmodernist says that truth is created by groups of people. Truth is either absolute or relative. There's no in between. And I believe it's an absolute truth that God exists. Some people would say, the postmodernists would say, whether God exists or not, it can never be proven. And I suppose maybe you could argue scientifically you can't prove it, but God is not created by people. God are not created by those who believe in God. That to me is irrational. It's illogical. It doesn't make sense. But that's postmodernism. If the postmodernists are right, then reality is a social construction. That reality is produced or determined by those who describe it the way they do describe it. Language creates reality. It's true for you, but it's not necessarily true for me. That truth is fundamentally relative, and therefore there is no absolute truth. Truth is founded in the accepted narrative. Each society has their accepted narrative. Some people, their accepted narrative might be Confucianism, or it might be nativism, or whatever. And that's the truth for that group. And we have no right to undercut or call that their truth, their narrative, wrong. That's really bias and prejudice. There is no universal transcultural standard of truth or value. No authorial prerogative. Like I said before, if the postmodernist is right, then the truth of, let's say, a particular book in the Bible is determined by those who read it. And there's more than one interpretation. Which is the right one? The answer is, well, the right one is the one that's accepted by the group that are reading it together. There's no such thing as the Book of Romans, like I said. Language creates reality rather than the absolute truth. Consciousness is social. It's not individual. So I believe that in myself, for what it's worth. That doesn't mean I'm selfish, I hope. But I believe that a person named John Oakes is an actual entity that exists. Personally, I believe that I exist apart from the actual chemicals that are moving around in my brain. But postmodernists believe that consciousness is principally social. Conscious is a group thing, not an individual thing. And self is a construction. Again, no rational way to decide which is the correct worldview. There is no authority to determine what is the correct worldview. Now, let me give you, like I did with materialism, let me give you a list of reasons that I have a problem with postmodernism. First of all, postmodernism is self-refuting. As is scientific materialism, postmodernism is self-refuting. Here's why. Because if nothing is true, there's no absolute truth, then one thing for sure is, postmodernism is not true. And believe me, if you read the writings of postmodernists, they're convinced that it is true, that it is the correct view of the nature of things. And by the way, postmodernists believe that there's no authorial prerogative, no privilege of the author to determine the correct interpretation. Of course, a huge exception to that is they expect to have the right to interpret their own writings. Anyway, another reason I have a problem with postmodernism is I don't care what they say, some things are just truth. Either God is real or he's not. Even if I can't determine it one way or another, bottom line is, either God exists or God does not exist. The postmodernist says, depends. God exists for those who believe that he exists, and God doesn't exist for those who don't believe he exists, and there's no way to prove or to know for sure one way or another whether God exists. Well, you know, it may be that you can't absolutely give hard and fast proof one way or another, but I don't care what they say, either God is real or he's not. And again, if your culture told you it was safe to jump off a cliff, would you jump? See, some things are just plain true. Another reason that I believe that that postmodernism is bogus is because of science. Now, scientism may be bogus. In other words, the idea that science has the prerogative to determine all truth, that if there is such a thing as ethics, that ethics is to be determined through experiment, and that there is no reality other than that which is measurable by physical instruments and stuff like that, that's bogus. But the bottom line is, science is not bogus. The naturally convincing explanation of the success of science is that it is gaining a tightening grip of an actual reality. The goal of scientific endeavor is to gain an understanding of the structure of the physical world. The conclusions are always tentative, but they are dictated by the way things really are. In other words, although scientific method has not determined everything there is to know about the physical universe, the bottom line is the reason we always get the same results when we do experiments, the reason that science can predict things, that it's gotten us to the moon, it's helped us to build drugs that can cure diseases, that it's helped us to fly, is bottom line is the world does exist. There is a physical world that works according to unchanging laws, etc. The bottom line is there exists absolute truth, and that science, even if it cannot ultimately determine completely for the final answer that absolute truth, bottom line is that absolute truth exists, and the discovery of science are certainly a window into that. Another thing I find wrong with postmodernism is it simply doesn't agree with reality. It doesn't agree with the world as it is. Our understanding of truth may be relative, but truth is not. In other words, it may be true that my understanding of truth is affected by the way I was raised, it's affected by my belief as a Christian, my understanding of truth is affected by my training as a scientist, by my study of historical texts. So it may be true that one individual's understanding of truth is relative. That's true. But truth is simply not. Truth is not relative. Truth is what it is. The laws of nature are what they are. Human reality is what it is. God either exists or he doesn't. Postmodernism just simply does not agree with human reality, with human experience. The next reason I have a problem with postmodernism is because I believe it's dangerous. As with naturalism being dangerous, I believe that postmodernism is dangerous. Which is better, the Nazi culture or Christianity? What's the basis for that? If the postmodernist is right, then sin is a cultural creation. Why prefer one moral system to another? If the postmodernist is right, why should we listen to Jesus or to Buddha or any other reformer, Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi? Because if the postmodernist is right, then the reformer is by definition always wrong. Because what's right is determined by the group. And the reformer is always arguing against the group. The reformer is coming in and saying the group does not have a right to determine what's true and what's right and what's best. That there exists certain ultimate realities which are greater than culture, which are greater than the common human opinion. And so what are we going to do with reformers like Jesus, or like Muhammad for that matter? Because if the postmodernist is right, then truth is determined not by the individual, not by our own search for truth, but by the group. And if postmodernism is right, then there is no sin, there is no right and wrong. The bottom line is, that's dangerous. Why? Because, well, let's go to John 14:6. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to finish out with just a few comments. This time I'm going to turn to the Bible about what is truth. And I believe as we read the Bible, it describes a correct approach to what is truth. Let's read John 14:6. If you don't have a Bible with you, I'll read it myself and you can follow along. John 14:6. I believe the Bible gives a healthy, useful, and a view of truth, and a view of truth which corresponds with the reality as it exists. Remember that that theory, the correspondence theory of truth, which is something is true if it corresponds with reality? I believe the truth of the Bible corresponds with reality. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." In other words, Jesus said, my words are truth. And my life is being lived as a true picture of the life that it should be lived by all human beings. Why is postmodernism wrong? Why is scientific materialism wrong? Because Jesus is truth. Now, Jesus said, "I am truth." I say either that's a true statement or it's not. Why do I believe that Jesus is truth? Well, I believe Jesus is truth because he raised Lazarus from the dead. I believe Jesus is truth because he created enough food to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. I believe Jesus is truth because not only did he say, "I am the resurrection and the life," but he raised Lazarus from the dead. I believe Jesus is truth that he is the way and the truth because he was raised from the dead. Let me read another statement about truth from Jesus. It's John 8:32. Actually, John 8:31. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus said that his words are truth. And he said that if we study his words, and if we obey his words, if we hold to his words, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And, you know, I've been a Christian for about 29 years, and I have found great truth, incredible truth, simply in the sayings of Jesus. Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I have found that to be true. Jesus says that the way to greatness is through humility and through service. And I've found that to be true again and again and again. Jesus has said the greatest, the Bible says the greatest of these is love. And I found that to be true. Jesus said, "I came to give life and life abundantly." And in following Jesus, I've had abundant life. I believe that Jesus is truth. I believe his truth both because his words have been proven true. That's the correspondence there of truth. And I believe Jesus is truth because of his actions, because of his miracles, because of his perfect life. Let's read one more verse about truth. It's John 1:14. John 1:14. This is not Jesus speaking. This is being said about Jesus. "The Word became flesh and lived for all among us." That's talking about Jesus. "The Word became flesh and lived for all among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" Jesus said, "I am truth." Now, science can discover things that are true, I believe that. But science can't answer the ultimate questions of how we got here, why we're here, where we're going. See, the life of Jesus answers all those questions. Postmodernism can't answer the question, what's truth? Because if they're right, there is no truth. that all truth is biased, all truth is theory-laden, and that truth is cultural. Well, if that's true, then what are we doing here? So I believe Jesus is the truth. And if Jesus is the truth, that certainly destroys postmodernism as a philosophy. It certainly destroys scientific materialism as a philosophy. Now, science may work, and postmodernism may even give us some useful insight. I'm not against postmodernism as a way to gain insight into culture. That's fine. But no, postmodernism is not the answer to the question, what is truth? What is true? Well, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, right after he gave bread to well over 5,000 people. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection of the life, just a few minutes before he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said, can anybody prove me guilty of sin? And the response of the crowd was to be quiet. And then finally he said, you're crazy. But nevertheless, they could never show him guilty of any kind of sin. So we've looked at three different philosophies, if you will, three different ways of discovering truth. One way of discovering truth is through science. And by the way, I believe we can discover some truth. I believe through the scientific method, we can discover a lot of truth about how the physical world works. In fact, I believe the existence of science itself is a direct product of Christian belief. Belief in an unchanging world, a beautiful world, a world that follows unchanging laws, a world that is beautiful, a world that's understandable, a world that was created in a way that parallels the human mind, the creation of the human mind, so that we can understand it. I believe that, absolutely. And the existence of science itself is not evidence against God. In fact, I believe science is very, very strong evidence for the ultimate truth, the ultimate reality, which is found in Jesus Christ. And postmodernism. I believe a postmodern perspective might even give us some useful insight into some true things. I believe that scientific materialism has been helpful to make us realize that the Western modern reality approach to knowledge is not the only one. And we've given some useful respect and honor to some of the insights of other cultures, and I think that's wonderful. I think Jesus would have been happy about that. The Bible says in Christ there's neither slave nor free, male nor female, Greek nor Gentile, but all are one in Christ. However, I believe truth, the true epistemology, is found in the person of Jesus Christ. That Jesus came to reveal truth. That Jesus came to show us God. And God is the ultimate determiner of reality because God created reality. There is moral truth. It is wrong to hate. It is wrong to be prejudiced. It is wrong to use violence. It is wrong to commit sexual immorality. It is wrong to have gluttony and greed and pride and arrogance. Those things are wrong. They're flat wrong. Why? Because our Creator, the Creator of this ultimate reality, created moral truths as well. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you very much.